I want to read to you a book about the parable of the story about the parable of the sower out of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, and beginning at the first verse and going through to verse 9. Hear the reading of God's holy word. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil." Okay, I do say that in a very southern way, soil. "It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The word of God for the people of God." Amen. This story, I want to concentrate on verse 5 and 6. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. In other words, it was shallow ground, and they could not take root. Brenda, do you mind closing that door so that any noise coming from the children? Of course, we do like noise from the kids. I heard this story about a house that had a few bees in it, and honeybees that were flying around inside the house. So they called up a beekeeper. "Can you come and take care of these bees?" And the beekeeper came through the house trying to find where the bees were and to locate the bees. And he'd searched around the house, outside and inside, and it was hot in the house. There was no air conditioning. And so he's in this suit, and he just gets real hot, and he leans himself up against one of the walls in the family room. And as he does so, his hand goes through the wall. And what he found out is that not just 10 or 20 bees came flying out, hundreds and thousands of bees began to swarm into the room. And he quickly got out because he was not ready for that to happen. And what had transpired is probably over a period of years, the honeybees had whittled away at all the sheetrock that was there, but for some reason, they did not want to touch the paint, the layers of paint. So as you were to look at the wall, it looked fine. It looked sturdy. It looked prepared to lean upon, even. But as soon as one did, all that was there was just those two or three or four layers of paint that had been there from years ago. And all of a sudden, the bees came out in droves because it was so shallow. Folks, that's sometimes where we are. and where Christians can even be, is we do not develop our faith as growing to sustain us for when trials and tribulations come, when circumstances in our lives come. Sometimes we may think that, and I'll talk about ways in which our things that are superficial and shallow, but we begin to think that we're just okay where we are. We don't need to develop or grow anymore. We know enough. We feel like we've done enough. And the thing about it is, our faith doesn't rest upon what we do, folks. It's how we respond to wanting to be close to Jesus. At the moment or in our life when we have said yes to Jesus, or we have recognized that, yes, we love God and we know that He's forgiven us, we are in that full moment, the seminary term, justified before God. But there's also that aspect of that we are still at work in our faith, drawing close to God, walking daily with Him. Just as you have a relationship with a spouse or a friend or a family member, you spend time with them, don't you? And that's what's called sanctification, folks, where we are at work building that close relationship with God. And it's something that we do continually so that we draw deeper in our faith in Him. Our faith cannot be just on the surface. It doesn't go together with what being a Christian is. Even persons new to the faith must quickly discern that Scripture is our stronghold. Our relationship with God is founded in and through the Scriptures. This is how we see God. This is how we see it as alive and living. How the Word of God is a living book for us. Even new Christians will, it's surprising to me, one person who's an MMA fighter but is a Christian, another person that is the, what is that British comedian guy? I talked to about him not long ago. I can't think of his name. Russell Brand. He's new to the faith, but boy, do you see him on fire. And what is he constantly doing in his blog? He's referring to Scripture, folks, all over the place. Because he's studying it, he's digging into it, and he's referencing it in the way that he leads and lives his life and how he thinks other people should lead and live their lives. So he's digging deep into the Scriptures. Our faith cannot remain where it is today. We need to say, I am willing to grow. I am willing to draw closer to God. I want to be in heaven because I want to be closer to God. I want to live next week better than I did this week. I want to live 5 years from now better than I do today. I want to live closer to God 30 years from now than I do today. And I want to understand His Word better than I do today. And the only way we can do that is if we place our time, like in things like this, in worship, but more than just that, digging into His Word, living it out, trusting in His Word to guide us. It doesn't mean that you need to be able to quote Scripture from and say out of Exodus 20 is this and out of Matthew 15 is this. Yeah, you will be able to do some of that. And some people will be able to do it a lot. I'm typically not one of those persons, But I can refer to, I know this book is about this, and I know that in Exodus 20, here's where it is the Ten Commandments, and I know here it is in Matthew where the resurrection story or the birth narrative, and which birth narrative it is, and things like that. And you begin to quote Scripture and live it out because you've read it enough. I want to challenge each of you here today. And you can start this whenever, and I hope you won't go away and think, I'm not doing that. I want to challenge you. And I think, you know, some people say, don't challenge people. Well, I think God challenges us when he said to the disciples, leave everything and follow me. That was a challenge, wasn't it? I want to challenge you today. And I looked this up. To find out how many verses were in, I mean, how many chapters were in the New Testament. Not the Old Testament, the New Testament. There's about 2.5 times as many in the Old Testament. But if you read 3 chapters a day, which would take about 5 minutes, 10 minutes max, okay? If you read 3 chapters a day, how many days would it take to read through the whole of the New Testament? 87 days. That's less than 3 months. Even if you had determined, hey, I'm going to take 1 day off a week and not do that, and I'll take the other 6 days and read, you will have read through the New Testament, which is about this much of the Bible. Now, some people read novels that are 1,000 pages long. But just three chapters. It's not a lot. But I promise you, as you read it, you will develop and grow deeper in your relationship and closeness to God. Just 3 chapters a day. And as you do so, do this. Now, you're not going to remember everything I'm saying here. I know that. I won't remember everything I'm saying here. All right? But if you will just pray things like this, Lord, help me to understand this word. Before you start to read, Lord, help me to understand what I'm about to read. Give thanksgiving to God. He is your Savior. And He's given you eternal life. He's given you a life that should be free from guilt and shame. Free from guilt and shame, because all of that's been placed on Him. Help for the day. Just help for the day. Lord, help guide me for this day, what I should say, what I should not be a part of. Whatever comes to your mind in that closeness with God that you pray for. Pray for growing in faith. Just simple, growing in faith. That's what faith is. It means growing. It means that we're growing in our closeness to God. And prayer for those around you. Pray for family. Look around you here. Pray for one another. Look around you here. Pray for those who aren't present here today. Or we're at the early service. Pray for those who can't be here. Pray for the lost. Pray for your friends. Pray for your family. Pray for enemies even. Pray for those you work close beside. All of these things, as you enter into this time of prayer, prayer and reading Scripture, just 3 chapters a day for 90 days. You start that whenever you want to. And I promise you, you will see growth and transformation taking place in your own life and being drawn closer to God. What does superficial faith look like? What does a shallow faith look like? If that can even go together, but people do try to live in this. And I think it looks like this. It's like when people will say, hey, I pray for a parking spot at Ingles and Walmart up close. Now, mind you, I think that's kind of important if you are very elderly or you have trouble walking or you need assistance and you're really worried about the heat might get to you and you need someplace close to be able to get to the pharmacy or to get items that you need there. I get that. But to think of God as some kind of He's a genie in a lamp, and we just got to rub it a little bit and pray to God to grant us our wishes. That's superficial, isn't it? That's not going deeper in our faith and trusting God with things that are truly important. Do you think God wants to hear from us asking us, Jesus, I'd love a prime parking spot at Walmart today? I know I'm saying it kind of in an arrogant kind of way. But think about it. That's like asking Jesus as he's hanging on the cross. Think about it that way. What would you ask from Jesus as he's hanging on the cross? Well, that gives us a whole different perspective, doesn't it? What you ask of Jesus while he's hanging on the cross. Things that are of substance. Things that matter. Things that are important. Praying to pass a test when you did not study. We talk about prayer in school. Well, there always will be prayer in school as long as you have tests. Okay. But maybe prayer shouldn't be, let me get 100 and I haven't even opened the book and I haven't studied at all. That's kind of like, Lord, just bless me. I won't do anything. And in reality, a better prayer would be, Lord, give me patience to study, and clarity and understanding, and help me to prepare properly. That's a better prayer, isn't it? And maybe on the day of the test, it would be something like this. It could be more than what I'm saying, folks, yes. And on the day of the test, say, Lord, help me to understand the questions and to answer with clarity, and sharpen my mind in this moment. And let me not be distracted or tempted to cheat. And even further, help me not to distract others or cause others to cheat. You see the difference? And so many other things, just like we prayed this morning for Marianne and Chuck's son, who just learned this week that he has colon cancer. It's a different prayer, isn't it? One in which, when we have spent time with the Lord, we can trust him to answer according to his will and not just wishes. It's a strange contrast, and I'm going to try to wrap this up here, but it's a strange contrast that when persons seek a superficial faith that's hollow and shallow, to those like this, 19 Yazidi women and girls were, and this was in Mosul, Iraq, during that spring revolution stuff that took place, were burned in a cage to death because they would not renounce their faith and they would not accept the faith of Islam. And so they were tragically burned to death. Imagine only how horrific that was. People who were beheaded for that. And it gives us pause as we think about how grateful we are in this nation that we can come into this place and worship God, and we generally have no fear of anyone doing anything harmful to us. But we still need to draw closer in our faith to Him. What made them go to that point of death is because they had a mature faith in the real Jesus, you see. An imam in Nigeria, thousands of worshipers who'd come for prayer and bowing down in their 5 days a week prayer time. And as he's bowing down, he feels a strong hand upon his forehead, so much so it lifts his head up. And this is happening miraculously in a lot of Muslim areas. God is revealing himself in dreams and in physical ways. And there before him, no one else could see, but he could see that the hand that was upon his head was Jesus. This is an imam, a leader of thousands in the Muslim faith. What he did next was he got up. He turned around while the others were still praying. He got their attention and he said, "You need to follow Jesus." And he shared what happened. Do you know what they did to him? They killed him. Right there. They killed him. Rather than receiving the good news, his family heard what had happened and they reasoned and contended in their own heart and mind that he must have really seen Jesus. It must have been really real for him that he would give his life and share this. And so they all, everyone in his family, young and old, converted to Jesus Christ. And instantly, they were not looking for shallow faith, but they were looking for something much deeper and meaningful. And we too should look for something deeper and more meaningful when we seek to follow Jesus and not shallow faith. Jesus did not die on the cross for us to have superficial faith. He died on the cross that we will want to draw closer to Him. That we will want to pour out our hearts to Him. That we will want to be in prayer with Him. And He has given us this gift that we might not dismiss it or ignore it or cheapen it by staying put where we are. It's that we will draw deeper into Him. We went on vacation, mini vacation last week, up to Chattanooga. And while there, I think we got there. We went left on Thursday. You came back on Sunday. I had a conference retreat, leaders retreat, that I went on at Shiloh Campground till Wednesday of this week. And while there, we said, "Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? Let's go see Ruby Falls." My daughter and I quickly went, "Been there, done that, don't want to do it again." And by the way, I'm a little claustrophobic. So you go to Lookout Mountain, and Ruby Falls is inside the mountain in a cavern. You have to go down an elevator, and then you don't crawl, but you walk, and then there's some tight areas. But you see areas where people who first went there would be crawling through areas about this wide from top to bottom to get to this open space deep within this rock mountain. And there would open up this cavern, and a waterfall is taller than this ceiling itself, maybe as high as the steeple on top of here, and a waterfall coming down. Think about it, you can just look at the mountain and you keep it on the surface and you can just see what's there. But you got to go deeper to see what's inside that mountain. You see, we have to go deeper to see the depth of God's love. And we can only do that to wanting to draw closer to Him in His Word.